Raise your hands. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your living waters. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb. Thank you. It is finished. We exalt your name, Lord Jesus. Now give him a big clap offering. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We had one of the most amazing convocations and conferences this last weekend. Yeah. How many of you were here? Did you enjoy it? I'll tell you, I was vibrating for the next several days. Having several hundred women, I'll tell you, roaring in the anointing, the daughters of the Lion. We have never, I don't know, for me, it was one of the most uplifting, recharging experiences I've ever had. I love it. I'm so glad God says, and my sons and my daughters shall prophesy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the daughters can prophesy. The daughters can roar. And I loved it. I loved it. I'm so glad. I said, we're going to have it, another gathering convocation. I hope all the daughters come to the next conference. But we'll have a specific gathering next year at around the same time. That'll be our Valentine to the Lord after Valentine's Day. Amen?
Yep.
Glory to God. I want to share with you a couple of scriptures. And we're going to do something special tonight. The two scriptures I had on my heart, Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Say refreshing.
Refreshing.
Yeah, for me, it's another word for the Holy Spirit flowing like woof, like a mighty gusher, and the glory coming on God's people. And the key is, as we repent, and the word for me is, it's a keep on doing it. It is like knock, and it keep on knocking, and that shall be open to you. Repent and keep that spirit of humility and repentance so that our sins may be blotted out and that times of refreshing come literally from the presence of the Lord himself.
Thank you, Lord.
May the times of refreshing be loosed over you, over our family, over our ministry, over the church, over the watch, and over the church of Jesus Christ, and over this nation.
Yeah.
Times of refreshing. Yeah. Put your hands out and say, times of refreshing.
Times of refreshing.
Hallelujah. The other scripture I wanted to share was from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, which says, in fact, I want to read it from the Message Bible, and it's a little bit, I like that version too. It says, and my people, my God-defined people, I like that, respond by humbling themselves, praying, seeking my presence, and turning their backs on their wicked lives. I'll be there, ready for you. I'll listen from heaven, forgive their sins, and restore their land to health. That's a great prophet. Restore, Lord, restore our land to health.
Yes.
And this tragic, horrible event in Parkland, in Broward County, Florida, this several days ago, it was a wicked thing, and immediately, there was a pointing of fingers of here and there and there and this, and then this is to blame and this is to blame and all that. And then it's like a flood of confusion. And I don't know how many of you have heard of Mike Rowe. Mike Rowe, what program did he have?
Dirty Jobs.
Yeah, he's one of the most practical guy and inspiring guy, and he's a great example for manliness and for men to be men. and not be afraid of hard work. But he said something about that whole incident. But Bonnie and I, we used to live, we lived for almost 18 years in Broward County. And we have the joy of having our sister Suzanne Hinn here with us. Suzanne, wave your hand. And she used to live up in Central Florida. Remember that? But anyway, I remember Broward County, and her dad's ministry was in Central Florida. But we remember Florida, and at that time, the Broward County, we even that time, many years ago, this is more than 25 years ago, as our children were growing, we just felt a little anxious about sending them, even there, with the humanistic atmosphere in the churches was such that we were blessed to have the number one Christian school in our zone. It just was right down the road. It was from the Coral Ridge Presbyterian. How many of you heard of Coral Ridge and Dr. D. James Kennedy's school, Coral Ridge School? What was it called? Westminster Academy. And so we were blessed to raise our kids in that. But the things, the humanism was coming into that area. And Micro said this, stop pointing fingers at all of this thing. There is evil. And basically the way he was saying is there is a spirit of evil. And only the spirit of good and the spirit of God can battle that. And I said, well, what wisdom that you don't point fingers at this and this. There is Satan. And Jesus preached, I have come to give you life abundantly, but the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. So our gathering here is important. Yeah. It's prophetic that we, with our praise, with our worship, with our intercession, are continuously covering our children, our family, our schools, our city, and saying, shalom, shalom, shalom upon our family. Shalom upon this city. Shalom upon our schools, that no weapon formed against our children can prosper. And we need to release the weapons of praise. We need to release the weapon of the blood of Jesus. We need to release in a constant way. The watchman doesn't say, hey, okay, I did watch at the beginning of the year. Now it's at the end of the year. But, hey, doesn't matter. I did it one time. That's not how God wants the watchman to be in prayer and be on the battlements in the spirit realm, watching and praying. And that's what God has given us. I'm so proud of each of you here that after the big gathering of the glorious conference gathering, that we can come once again and say, here I am on duty, worshiping and praising God and interceding on behalf of my family, my children, my church, my nation, my city. And so praise God. So tonight especially, we want to get in that place where we are interceding and asking the Lord, Lord, send us once again the times of refreshing. And specifically tonight, we want one of our keys, and we want to thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for his amazing, awesome servant named Dr. Billy Graham. And
yes.
Thank you, Lord. We want to say, Lord, thank you for your servant, Dr. Billy Graham. Thank you for his service. Thank you for his hard work. Thank you for the message. Thank you for his humble spirit. Thank you for giving us such a man of God. We honor the memory and the legacy of Dr. Billy Graham and say, Lord, thank you. Let that ministry, let that anointing continue. Thank you for giving us that wonderful servant. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. And so what I want to say By the way, Dr. Billy Graham said one time, and I, in a humorous, somewhat semi-humorous thing, and he said, when you hear the news, Dr. Billy Graham, that Billy Graham is dead, don't believe it. Because I will be more alive than ever in the presence of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we celebrate the promotion of this great man of God. But it is right, and I'm glad that, by the way, as he is laid in honor on the rotunda at Washington, D.C., which is rarely, it's a very rare event. Usually it's presidents and just very exceptional things. But they have both the Paul Ryan, the head of the House of Representatives, and Mitch McConnell, the senior senator from the majority leader in the Senate. Both, so it's both houses of Congress. They are the ones who authorize and request the honoring of the. So president doesn't necessarily do it. He would be 100% in favor. It's more an exercise of both houses of Congress that do that. And so he is going to lie in state. And I'm so glad that we as a nation can honor the servant of God. He is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There's no doubt about it, no compromise about it. He stood for Jesus. The other point I want to make, since I'm here in the Carolinas, and many of our homes are in Charlotte, that this awesome, amazing servant, perhaps absolutely the most well-known spiritual leader of the last 100 years, but perhaps the most broadcast voice for Jesus Christ in the last 2,000 years. And we have the privilege to say he was born in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes. Wow.
And he made his decision at an evangelistic meeting or crusade for a wonderful servant of God named Mordecai Ham. And at around 16 or so, he was taken to one of those crusades and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And he used to help his daddy. When we first came, I remember they pointed out where Dr. Billy Graham's house, and his mom and dad raised him up. But they were dairy farmers. So he milked cows and all of that stuff and delivered milk, I believe. So in that simple way, but the glory of God touched him here in the Carolinas, in Charlotte. And thus began an amazing ministry that live audience. I mean, he spoke to more than 200 million in a live audience way. And then massive, I mean, who knows how many billions, maybe half a billion or so, I mean, who were able to listen to his crusades on TV or radio. They were anointed the way he and that cadre of servants that he put together. And some of you may remember George Beverly Shea and all the others. I mean, it's just, so we want to, he was born in 1918, and at 8 o'clock Wednesday morning, February 21, 2018, he went home to glory. So, but they consider many, considered him. Of course, he influenced from Harry Truman to Dwight Eisenhower to John Kennedy to Nixon to Ronald Reagan to Jimmy Carter to Bush Senior, Bush Junior, President Clinton, and Mr. Obama, President Obama. They were all influenced and were honored, this man of God. And so we are grateful. And we want to officially say from the watch of the Lord, from All Nations Church, from here, saying, Lord, we as a people want to say thank you, Lord, for the life Amen. And ministry of this great, humble servant of God, Dr. Billy Graham. And thank you for the millions who came to Christ.
My goodness.
And by the way, if it's okay for me to remind the Lord, he did come from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes.
And so there is an ulterior motive in my saying that. Because, well, I will also confirm my feelings were confirmed some time back. Some of you may remember our great, wonderful prophet friend, Bob Jones. Mm-hmm. He said that, and some may, I need to look up the exact wording, but I know that he said that when Dr. Billy Graham passes, that will be a triggering of one of the signs that at that time something major where revival is concerned will be triggered for this region and for the United States. So it's a small little postscript, but for me, it's kind of a trigger point that when Elijah was taken up, his mantle came on Elisha. And if God is, if I'm going to say on behalf of our nation, on behalf of Charlotte and the Carolinas, Lord, we thank you for your servant.
Yes.
And we do ask for the release of a double portion of the spirit of revival, a spirit of evangelism.
Amen.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And in that context, as I was thanking the Lord, that I wanted to ask some of you, if you have ever attended in person, how many of you had a chance either, well, let me put it this way, that either you or a member of your family was touched at a Billy Graham crusade, or you got to attend a Billy Graham crusade. Raise your hands.
Wow.
Look around you. Keep your hands raised. Yeah. Now, I want some of you, let's take, Bon, you want to share? You had an experience yourself when you were a young lady at a Billy Graham crusade.
Yes, I certainly did.
Come on up.
I was 18 years old, and I had just sort of begun to have a fresh hunger for the Lord. And my stepfather, who was one of the most Christ-like men I have ever known, was a very exuberant, spirit-filled Southern Baptist. And he was faithful in serving in Billy Graham's crusades whenever he would be in the region in New Mexico. So he took my mother and I. So I had the privilege of going to a Billy Graham crusade in Albuquerque, New Mexico, very near my hometown. It would have been in 1973, about 1973, yeah. And it was the first time that I experienced in my life what we understand as the glory, that manifest presence of the Lord in a place. And it touched me deeply. There was something that opened in my heart at that time that was a fresh spring of water that I believe actually drew me to the place where I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, because it happened shortly after that. And then Many years later, I was sharing this with Mahesh. I had the opportunity to attend a summer school at Wheaton College in outside of Chicago when the Billy Graham Library was there. And this was, you know, just a few years ago, after many years of walking with the Lord, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I had never had an opportunity, though I'd heard much about it, about the Billy Graham Library. And so, because it was there on the campus where I was, I went and spent about a half a day going through the Billy Graham Library. And I have to tell you, it radically impacted my heart in a very, very deep way, to sort of follow the living footsteps of a man who devoted his life to the vision of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in our world. And following his devotion and his footsteps and seeing the memorabilia and that sort of thing was a very moving experience for me. But the thing that happened is I had a repent, therefore, encounter that day on the way they had the library set up, and is similar here, is they would bring you on this journey and through into a place where you're surrounded by this amazing mural that was painted that is, are the scenes of Jesus, you know, final bringing to trial at the crucifixion and the three crosses there. And I remember coming out in front of this mural, being surrounded by it, and it was, I was gazing on the scene of the preparation with Jesus with his hands bound, and the three crosses are there, and there are two criminals and the Lord that are about to be crucified. And I felt like, just looking at that scene, I looked at each one of those criminals, and I thought, you know, which one of them would I be, would I have been if I had been there? And suddenly the Holy Spirit just moved my eyes right onto Jesus himself with his hands bound. And he said, that's where you are in this scene. And I got a real revelation about the exchange that happened that day, that God literally stood in our stead there and took every judgment that was against us. And this was after many, many years of walking with the Lord. It had a profound, fresh impact on me about the great exchange that has occurred for me personally. And so when you, you know, as we honor Dr. Graham, there was no voice like his. I mean, that man and his preaching voice was absolutely something that resonates. And, you know, I still have it in my ears. I can still hear him clearly that night in the crusade. And so we do. We thank the Lord for him. And, you know, you look around this room, and the many of us who raised our hands, whose lives were impacted, or had the opportunity to be in one of those moments. And, Lord, come again. Come again and visit this land, because he came and he brought the gospel during an era when it was embraced. Literally, Christianity was considered a friend to a nation, to this nation. And he was one of the premier spokespersons. He filled the stadiums in New York City and all of our major cities with many, many people coming to Christ, worshiping the Lord in a real glory era of Christianity being recognized as our foundation. And so as we pray tonight, repent therefore that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. It's my dream in my heart that once again America would sing the song of Jesus loves me, this I know. And we thank Dr. Graham for being a door open, hopefully, to that. Someone, you know, spoke about the 22nd and his passing at 99, right in that fold of time. And we, the last couple of days, have been looking again at Isaiah 22:22, that says that I'll give him the key to the house of David. And what he opens, no man can shut. And what he shuts, no man can open. So may the Lord open for us a fresh door of revival and a gospel harvest in our nation.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. I want us to share.
Huh? Dave Clark was at his crusade in Charlotte in 1996.
Is that right? Some of you guys. Okay, I want to spend a few moments with you guys sharing your experience, or if a member of your family was touched, or you were touched in a Billy Graham crusade. I want to have you come. And who else? Dave, come up here. And
I was going to pass the microphone.
Or right up there, or however. And we're going to share this because it's honoring to the servant of God.
Yeah.
And then in the conclusion, Michael and I have kind of talked about sharing. What we're going to do is share a few moments of his video. So you'll hear Dr. Graham's voice again. And you can see extended things on YouTube of his messages. And then we're going to sing some Billy Graham crusade song. All right? We're going to honor him by singing those. On the, I love those. And also, we'll have a few moments of George Beverly share. Amen. Go on, Dave, please.
Well, I've been reflecting back these past couple of days, and I was doing the math because I remember at the time when Billy Graham was doing the stadium here at Erickson Stadium at the time, the Panther Stadium.
Uh-huh.
It was the opening year of the stadium, and it was in the preseason. I think they made
what year was this?
1996 in September. I know that I think they had played one preseason game, but I think Billy Graham's crusade was one of the first things that happened in this stadium here in Charlotte. So I was just struck by how awesome that is. All kind of like christening the whole stadium under with the major 4-day altar call. So that's what I've been thinking about.
Amen. Again, amen. Yes. Amen. Come again, Lord. Tell them your name. And
Peter Martin. My wife, Tony, and I served at a New York City crusade.
What year do you remember?
It was in the middle in the 90s. Tony sang in the choir, and I was a counselor, and it ran 5 nights. It was in, at the time, one of the small arena, the Brendan Byrne Arena, which was named after the governor, and I was a counselor in the overflow. And every night, they packed out the stadium and then filled the parking lot. We had a big screen in the parking lot. And you're a counselor, so you receive some training from the staff. The staff was amazing. But it renews your desire to evangelize, to share the gospel. And one of those nights, I led a man to Christ that lived in a neighboring town, was at a mission, and then he came to our church and was part of our home group for almost a year. It's so amazing how the Holy Spirit moves through that, and I'm sure there's 100,000 testimonies just like that, and Tony's and mine is just one.
Yeah, but never minimize these testimonies. We should applaud the Lord and hover around it, thanking the Lord for each of those. Angelina Jolie, but she made a movie of, what was the guy, of the hero that came from the Second World War and then? Unbreakable?
Yes.
That's the name of the movie. But he was shattered, this man, in the Second World War. As a prisoner of war and all of that. I mean, a heroic man, total patriot, but completely what traumatic stress disorder, what we would call now, but they didn't know have a name of it. But he would wake up with nightmares every night. And his wife almost, lost it. And then he came forward at a Billy Graham crusade.
Yeah.
And that was the time they Hollywood didn't approve that, but his life, that was where his total turnaround was at a Billy Graham crusade.
Louis
Amen.
Zamperini.
Huh?
Louis Zamperini.
Yeah, Louis Zamperini. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So, also with the 19...
Tell them your name.
Oh, I'm Janet Beach. Sorry, Pastor.
Amen.
At the 1996, my sister-in-law decided she would go with us to appease her mother. She had no, didn't want to go, but she decided she'd go to appease her mom. And today she says she doesn't know what happened at that place. She said she lost her mind. She said before she knew it, she was down there with these people, and her whole life had changed. Wow. And she still cannot describe the power or the feeling that was in that arena that day. And she said that the Lord was so strong, and the power of the Lord was so strong, that she didn't know what had happened to her. And so she wasn't in control anymore. That the Lord became, and he was in control that day.
Amen. Amen. I love these testimonies. And just want you to know, and you guys become disciples in the glory, that these are doorways. The Lord, I'm claiming once again, Lord, open these portals. Come now, Lord. Touch in a mighty way where people, like she said, she lost her mind. That's totally right. Go ahead. Lose your mind, but give it to Jesus. Praise God. And she was transformed. Amen. Michael, come on up.
Yeah, Michael Hoover, but it's not about me. It's about Charlene.
All right.
Charlene, when she was 9, went with her parents to the Indianapolis Coliseum to see Billy Graham. And somewhat like Janet, she just got to a point where she just had to go down front, which you don't know her mother, but that was probably the worst thing that could ever happen, that her little girl would go down because somebody might snatch her or something. But wow. Her dad had to follow her down. But wow. Ever since then, she was very impacted by it. And she came to the Lord and just was really, from that point on, really full of him.
Amen. Amen. I can testify, as a pastor, I have never seen anyone be such a servant of the glory of Jesus and just serve every bit of her wanted to serve Jesus Christ. So at the founding of this church, and as Michael and Charlene came here to join us, whenever... And they have been part of our leadership. And whenever there was a moment to serve the Lord wherever, Charlene would be among the first. Yeah. And if she couldn't, you know, in a practical's help, she was always there to serve practically. And also do an extra, what they call, Babani calls lanyap, because she would bring her pies and her cakes. And I just want you to know that with Charlene's homegoing, there is a big gap in pie making and cake making in this church. I mean, I want you to know we are falling short because someone needs to catch up with that. I'm just joking. But she was a complete surrendered instrument of Jesus to serve the Lord, serve his church, serve his family, her family, wonderful family. And she always, and even when she was weakening with that attack on her body, she would always be here playing the keyboard till the last few weeks. I mean, that's amazing. And it started, that's wonderful. Thank you, Mark. That we can point back to when she was, 9 years old? And she walked down in the Billy Graham Crusade. Transformative. She ran. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Do it again, Lord. Praise God. Thank you. And I believe Charlene is laughing up there and probably making an extra pie for me one day. And who knows? She said you love them so much. She did. Her stuff? Primo. Who else has a testament? Amen. Tell us your name, honey, and share.
Hi. My name is Inez Hicks. Of course, growing up, I looked at Billy Graham on TV as a child. But when he came in 1996, to Charlotte. I was in the banking industry, and they asked for volunteers to work counting money. And so at the time, I was already born again. I had been born again in a tent revival in South Carolina. So it was such an awesome opportunity. So I got to work counting money for the Billy Graham Crusade.
Awesome. Yeah. Wow. Yes. Praise God.
My dad was stationed in...
Tell him your name.
Celia Mills. My dad was stationed in England, and I think it was in the early 1950s, and he said he was driving from his office, and there was this big baseball diamond, and he said, I stopped because I thought there'd be something for me to eat, some free food or something. So he saw what was happening, and he said this man was just preaching like he's never heard before, and he wasn't sure who he was. So he says, somehow I got up so close to him. I don't know how it happened, but I just was right there in the front. And he said everybody was just streaming down, and they were just crying and weeping and falling, you know, getting on their knees and praying. He says, so I just went right up with them. He just wanted to be a part of it. So he prayed, and so that was his story. So
that would have been Wembley Stadium?
It was
Burton
Base or Bart... Oh. Bartwood Base or Burtonwood Base, or he said he found out who he was later on. Wow. And that he said that he was on his way back from a trip around Europe, and he decided to stop in England. So,
yeah. Amen.
I don't know, man. Hey, I'm Paul Hounshell. Ours is kind of comical. Joni, this is back in 96 when the stadium was brand new. We took our kids to hear him speak, and we got there a little bit late. We were ended up in the nosebleed section. I mean, you could barely see the stage.
Yeah.
And it had been raining. It was a mess. And Billy Graham had his message, and Joni and I were just standing up there. He did the altar call. And we turned around, and Joni says, where's Brandon? Our 9-year-old took off. And the funny part is we were at a picnic on Lake Wylie a year or two before, and the Spirit of the Lord fell on the picnic, and a pastor and I had baptized him in Lake Wylie. So when we caught up with him down on the field, I said, Brandon, you've been saved. And I said, what? You know, what are you doing? And he goes, I just want to make sure.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Oh, my God.
Who else?
I'm in the camera. Michael Nykum. Sorry. So in 1994, I was traveling with my dad, and we were in Cleveland, Ohio, of all places to be. But he was there on business, and we were at this hotel, and we had heard that he was going to be, Billy Graham was going to be doing his first youth night that he had ever done. He really had a heart to want to reach after the youth, so he had some of the music groups and things like that nature. And so we were going to go, and we went down to the front desk of the lobby trying to figure out where this stadium is at, because I think it was like a couple of days after Whitney Houston was there, and a lot of different stuff was happening. So we were trying to figure out, where is this stadium at? And there was a woman that came up to us and said, are you guys going to the Billy Graham Crusade? And we said, yes. And she said, I'm going. Why don't you come and take a ride with me? And so we said, okay. So we go into this woman's limo with her. And here we are, we're going to a evangelistic crusade in a limousine, okay, looking like a bunch of celebrities. And so we go, and we're in this lady, she's wonderful, very gracious, and we get to the place, and people thought that we were Billy Graham or something, I don't know, you know, so we're just like, hello. And so, you know, at that point, we have, you know, the woman that goes out, and the people were expecting maybe somebody to come out, but it was her, and then, you know, a man and a woman and a geeky 13-year-old. That was basically what was happening. But when we went there, it was, when you got into the room, the atmosphere was so warm and loving and yet had authority and power in the room. It was the Holy Spirit, it was the Holy Ghost that was present in the room. And they had the different music groups and everything was happening. But when Dr. Graham would come up and when he'd speak, there was power in his voice. There was authority. And there was something that it was like the dove coming down from heaven, the Holy Spirit coming down in the room. And there were thousands and thousands of young people that streamed down to give their lives to the Lord that night. I had already done it, but there was thousands that had already, that were streaming down to give their lives to the Lord. It was a powerful moment. Even, it's the reality that the gospel is transcendent through the generations. Okay, doesn't matter if you're young, old, black, white, rich, poor. It doesn't matter. The gospel is the gospel, and it's the good news of the saving power of Jesus, and it transcends. So, you know, thousands of young people will come and respond because it is the word of God. Amen.
Amen. Do it again.
I wanted to tell you that when I was a senior in college, 1983, Campus Crusade for Christ had a huge gathering in Kansas City called KC83. And there were about 20,000 students that came from all over the country. And Billy Graham was the headliner. And he was amazing. And there was Sandy Patty. The person that really touched me the most was Howard Hendricks. But he was a different story. Anyway, Billy Graham was amazing. And he probably preached two or three nights. And, you know, the place was packed out. It was a convention center of Kansas City, and all the college students also went out and, you know, fed and witnessed to people in Kansas City through that Campus Crusade ministry. But it was, you know, pretty amazing. And of course, he was a lot younger then, and so he was pretty much in his prime when he was preaching, and just full of fire and brimstone, and, you know, just the word of the Lord just flowed from Pastor Graham. So I was very thankful. I mean, my life was set in the Lord by that time, just a few years earlier, but I saw many lives changed with the group that we took from Western Kentucky. So, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, we consider him an evangelist, but he did pastor, by the way, for a brief time. And now, if you see the commentaries of several news sources, they called him his title was America's Pastor. So he really had a heart for every soul in America. Amen. Come on up.
Hi, I'm Keela Elston. About 1980, my sister and her boyfriend went to a Billy Graham crusade, and she started praying for me because I didn't know the Lord. We didn't grow up as Christians. Sorry. Wow. The realization of the gratitude that I owe to him is just hitting me right now. Ooh. So she prayed for me for about 5 years. And then she led me to the Lord.
Amen.
I'm Katie Jacks. I was part of a prayer group in the city of Charlotte back in the 80s and early 90s called Second Fridays for Praying Women with Mary Lance Sisk. You remember her? And we went to the what's called the Panther Stadium. You know, they keep changing the name of it. Before it was built, we went to that property. On one of our assignments, we went and we prayed over that stadium. And the Lord spoke to me and said that they were building the stadium for sports events, but he was having it built for revival. And yes. So it's always been in my heart. So at that 1994 meeting when Billy Graham spoke there, I mean, that was, it was just so, so powerful, because I felt like I was seeing the beginning of that word that the Lord had spoken to me. And being brought up in the Lutheran church, even when I went, was part of a charismatic Lutheran church years later in my teens and early adulthood, an altar call is not part of the tradition of a Lutheran church. Mm-hmm. To see the power of an invitation like that and the Spirit of God moving on masses of people that a lot of them, you know, did not intend to come there, to walk down to the front. But it very much impacted me. It was a tremendous impact on me. It really placed something very real inside of me to know that we're going to see that again. And I've been thinking lately, because they've been saying that, you know, we might have to tear down the stadium if we're going to attract, you know, teams, build a bigger stadium somewhere out. And I'm going, no, that's for revival. It might have a change in definition, but I'm just believing with Dr. Graham's homegoing that this anointed, this double portion is going to come, and we're going to see major, major evangelistic and Holy Ghost meetings there at the stadium with thousands coming to the Lord. So, amen.
Hi, my name is Cindy Leggett, and I was at the Cleveland Billy Graham Crusade in 94. My husband was part of the team that brought him in, and we actually had a chance to meet Dr. Graham at this meeting, one meeting before, and the thing that absolutely revolutionized my view was the humility that surrounded this man, the sense of the Holy Spirit, the gratitude of what God can do. It was, the atmosphere in that room was as much of a heavenly sense of anything I've ever experienced. But in getting ready for the crusade, I got to be part of the intercessory team. They go in for a year ahead of time, as you know. And so when the crusade was held, they had two stadiums, if I'm remembering correctly, in Cleveland at that time, a new one, and then there was an old one. And I think they had to have it at the old one because it was bigger, because of what they were expecting. And they had the intercessors in the news place, you know, where all the newscasters will look down and call all the things they call for games. And the atmosphere that surrounded everything that we were a part of, that involved the focus on praying for the Holy Spirit, for Jesus to become real to thousands, is, to me, one of the biggest testimonies of his ministry. That it isn't about the celebrity or what God did just with Dr. Graham, but the legacy of sharing it, the importance of prayer, an intercession, and is passed on. And it was, without a doubt, one of the most moving and life-changing things in my walk with the Lord, was to have interaction with his ministry and the people who worked with him.
Yeah. Cindy, hang on. Since this is the watch, we know that it's a living experience.
That's
with
right.
The Lord. When we gathered together, and you know, when we stood up and gave that ovation, I had a very specific sense of the angels' applause.
Absolutely.
And then suddenly that scripture that talks about the angels in heaven rejoice. Mm-hmm. Every time a soul comes to the Lord. And I had some kind of an experience tonight that we were in some eternal fold of time.
That's right.
With all of those moments. Absolutely. Of rejoicing with the thousands and thousands and thousands of folks who have come to the Lord through the years through that ministry. And then as Michael began to share, and then Cindy, when you were talking about praying, I started having a sense that one of the assignments of the watch tonight is for us to agree together and put a demand on all of those lives in America that were saved that may be away from the Lord.
That's right.
Maybe, you know, aren't bearing fruit for the kingdom, that they were appointed for an hour such as now for revival.
I believe you.
So I think you should lead us, and we're going to agree in prayer and touch as touching every American Amen. That is alive in this nation today that was touched by Billy Graham,
Amen.
That the Holy Spirit would do something in these hours and these days as his homegoing is being Amen. Broadcast, and bring those people Amen. To revival and bring times of refreshing.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, your word says, precious is in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious in terms of tender. And Father, we thank you for the eternal legacy, the destiny that has been fulfilled in our brother, in our father, Dr. Graham. And Father, we thank you for those lives that were changed and touched by that ministry. We know, O Lord, that those are your children, that they are your servants, and whatever their position is at this moment, we call them back in Jesus' name. We call them back, Father. We ask, please, Lord, will you quicken them? Will you please bring people to surround them and remind them, Father, they belong to you. And we say in the name of Jesus, anything that has come to intercept, to interfere, to interrupt, to distract and to take away from the finished work of Jesus Christ in their lives, we say by the authority of Jesus, take your hands off. These are your chosen, precious children, Lord, and we claim them again for your kingdom, and we claim those that they are to call out from the kingdom of darkness as part of your inheritance because of what you have accomplished in your servant. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Someone else have a story or impression to share?
There's so many people, both colors, that were touched by Billy Graham. My former pastor, where me and my wife, Ruth, and I served for over 15 years, he was an addict in Harlem, New York, and he went to a Billy Graham crusade and gave his life to Christ.
Wow. Yes. So there was an aspect that's we cannot put in words, and in the context of this crusade, it was not part of the language, but basically the glory of the Lord was present over that ministry, and it was the presence that would bring people to the Lord himself. Because, and in no way minimizing the awesomeness of Dr. Graham, but his message, as you looked at it, was very simple. He wasn't complicated. And some of the theologians of those in those days kind of were some of the snooty ones. You know, we are such intellects. We are sophisticated. This message is so simple. But it was the glory and the gift. And then he could have easily said, "Hello, everybody, and I like peanut butter, and now come and give your life to Jesus." And they would have come by the thousand, because it was the anointing that was present. So it was something supernatural. Say supernatural. So he was humble. He would not, and for every, I was reading how when he met, and several times afterwards, met with Queen Elizabeth, and she really honored him. And he, many times, whenever he was in England, he had an invitation to go anytime he wanted to see and have tea with the Queen of England. And her message, I mean, he loved giving, whatever message he would preach to an addict, he would preach the Queen of England. And in fact, I was reading some of his, one time he, I think it was the Queen who shared it, but he had a conversation with, he was supposed to preach in Windsor Castle to the Queen and all the family and different people. And he said he was having lunch with her afterwards, and he said, I was going to, you know, I was torn between two scriptures I was going to preach from this morning. And one of them was the person who was at the pool of Bethesda. Was good. And she almost kind of like started clapping and said, that is my favorite scripture. And God bless, that's a godly queen. She loves the Lord and she loves the Bible. But anyway, I mean, of course, he deeply influenced many of the presidents, from Harry Truman on. And this also is somewhat unknown, a little fact, because we love Israel and Jerusalem. This is a little addendum that, and by the way, the Lord's fragrance is here. I don't know how many of you, but I can smell the fragrance of the glory right now coming. And it's like incense and flowers, but more incense tonight. I mean, just like the presence is here. So, Lord, stay with us. It's overwhelming. What was I going to talk about?
Israel,
yes. So, during the, I think it was the Six-Day War. And Jerusalem was suddenly, I mean, Israel was attacked suddenly by all the Arab countries together. And that it were not, either it was the Yom Kippur War or the Six-Day War, one or the other. But this was something that it took Israel totally by surprise. And so Golda Meir was the president. And they were so short of ammunition and several other supplies that they desperately needed to be able to do a sudden war. And she needed overnight major supplies shipped from America, who is the only ally that could count on. But even there, the Arab consortium had made major problems for them. So she desperately needed to talk with President Nixon. And there were a whole bunch of cabal of people that didn't want America to help. So this is now weird, it's sounding, but she couldn't get through to him to ask for help. So she said, who shall I call so that I could get through or have President Nixon call me? I desperately, Israel needs help. So she called Billy Graham and knew that Billy Graham could reach the president anytime he wanted to. And she called him and said, Israel desperately needs help. Would you contact the president and have him call us, and can you persuade him to do something for Israel? And so Billy picked up the phone, Dr. Graham, and called in his IOUs, basically, and saying, if I can say it now, I don't know whether he said it this way, but he said, hey, listen, Mr. President, you owe me. Better send help to Israel. So he really was a key in blessing Israel and saving Israel at that time where it was in desperate need. Just something that few people know, I think. It's a wonderful thing. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Isn't that great? Yeah. That when you have influence, you can use it in the right way. And he helped save Israel. Praise God. Anybody else have it? Amen. Come on up. Tell them your name.
I'm Tom Posky. And I want to refer to what Michael said earlier, that tonight's a night of promises, and then the prayer about, you know, us doing something or God doing something to replace or build upon or double portion from Billy Graham. Even this morning after I realized Billy Graham had passed away, and sent a thing out on Facebook that if you're a football team and your quarterback goes down, the rest of the players have to pick up a little bit, quite a bit. And it's been on my mind, but Michael, you're saying about a day of promises. And Jeremiah 24:7 says, I'll put in them a heart to know me, for I am the Lord. And they will be my people, and I will be their God, and they will return to me with their whole heart. And that's a answer to the, or promise to your prayer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So what we'll do, we have a few moments of some of the preaching and some of the scenes from Dr. Graham's life. I think it starts with him in Wembley Stadium, I believe. And so we'll share that. And then I've asked Michael to lead us in some of the Billy Graham Crusade songs. Amen? And our prayer is, as Bonnie would say, come again, Lord. And if you will remember some of his, he was an unknown, and he was asked to speak in Los Angeles around 1949. And Hearst, who owns the Hearst newspapers, something, the voice of the Lord, I mean, he was not a believer. Something told him, God's basically, I want you to promote this unknown preacher. And his newspapers promoted the meetings of Billy Graham's in Los Angeles. That's where the beginning came. And then the stadium started filling out. And then when he went to New York City, 1950 onwards, there was a glory that came, that stadiums, giant state, all the big stadiums started filling. They, not just for a week, not for month after month, hundreds of thousands would come to Christ. Just think, this is New York City. About 6 months, would stadiums be filled with people now, these days? Well, we want the Lord to do it again for our name, in whichever form, but let the glory come over every corner of this United States of America. May he come. And then to the nations. You'll see him speaking, I think, to England or Germany, and there are some scenes of his speaking in India and different places. I mean, multitudes filled. So we thank you, Lord, for we honor this, but that which we honor comes upon us. So we say, may it come back once again over us.